So I really felt like we already prayed over everything, and I've been praying for like 4 months now over this lesson. So you guys can really sit down. Because I really know that God is going to go before this lesson. And I really know that it's going to penetrate our hearts and that we're going to receive this word in the spirit. And I know that God is going to move in a different manner tonight, and it's going to be a lot of repeats of the conversations that God has already had with us. But I am going to say this because, you know, every time you're about to do something, like thoughts start coming in your head. So I'm going to say this in advance. In my lesson, I talk a lot about me. And I'm going to say this. I'm talking a lot about me, one, because I know me, right? But two, because that's how God set up the lesson. But I'm coming from a very humble state, a very humble state of what he has done in my life and what he wants to do in this body, okay? The name of my lesson is Accept the Invitation. So, okay, I'm sorry. So the name of the lesson is Accept the Invitation. And before I get into the scripture reference that I'm going to use tonight, I'm going to say I am the witness to truth, to follow up from the evidence of what Sister Annette taught a couple of weeks ago. I am that witness. A witness is someone who sees something important or amazing, and I'm going to bear witness to every word God has spoke over pure apostolic Amen. Works. I'm going to bear witness to it. Amen. Amen. So as I was writing this, in my heart I feel like this. I've never been so grateful for something I couldn't earn. And I've never felt more worthy of something that I never could be worthy of. And I couldn't have more gratitude for something I couldn't find. And I couldn't be more thankful that he decided to use me. So I'm going to start off with a story first. When I was at the post office, I really feel like God really was doing some tremendous things for me, in me, with me. And I met a lot of people while I was there. And I do believe that one day God is bringing them here, because I believe that this is their home. I believe that the vision that God showed us when people were coming in and we were at the altar are a lot of the people that I met at the post office. But I met this young lady named Allison. She's actually on the call tonight. And me and Allison would always talk, and she would give me words, and I would give her words, and God was just moving in this newly found friendship. But one day we were talking, and I had invited her to church. And she was like, yeah, I'll come. But her mom is a pastor, and she said, but you have to come to my church. So I'm like, okay. But when she said that, in my spirit, God said, you're going to speak to her church. So everybody knows I don't just run into people's church, one. And two, that would have scared me a long time ago that you said that I had to speak at a church. But lo and behold, I did go visit her church on Sunday. And before I went, I was praying, and I was praying over myself that I could receive, that God would use me, different things of that manner. Well, I was praying with Brother Steve, and Steve said, I feel like you're gonna speak to their church. And I said, that is crazy, because when I was at the post office and I was speaking to Sister Allison, I said, God said the same thing. So I get to the church, and I'm there, and this is foreign. I don't know, like, we don't operate the same way that they operate. But nonetheless, I'm there. And we all know that Sister Dawn doesn't play church, so I don't go to other people's church and hold back, and I'm not going to stand there and not speak in tongues, and I'm not going to not worship, because that's who I am, and I know who I am. So they were worshiping, like worshiping. For a long time, they was worshiping. And I'm worshiping with them, right? Because I love to worship. But after all that was done, a young lady came up and she spoke, and she was speaking, and she said, I really don't like to speak in front of people. And I can relate. Like, I can really relate to this young lady. And she goes on and she teaches her lesson. And then the pastor walks up and she goes, you. She doesn't know my name, but God knows my name. Amen. And she goes, can you come up and give a word of encouragement? And I sat there for about a half a second. And I get out of my seat, and I got to show y'all how this looked, because I'm kind of in the back a little bit. And I go like this. I can relate to the sister right there in the room, because I don't like speaking in front of people. And as soon as I did that, God dropped, and his spirit laid on me. And I started speaking to the church, and I started giving them the same things that God has given us with the 30 days a year and how powerful it has been for our church. While I was speaking, I said, I'm in revival. I'm in revival. And the confidence that you see in me today is only by him. It's not me. But they didn't know me, but he knows me. And the confidence that fell on me when I was in that house was God. It was strictly God. It was nothing else. I cannot take any credit. But exactly what God said came to pass. On that note, we are going to turn to Matthew 22:14. Real small scripture. When you have it, say amen. Amen. That in Matthew 22:14, it says, many are called, but few are chosen. Over the last year, God has truly done amazing things in me within the 30 days a year. It's been one of the most powerful experiences, to say the least. I can't say that I understood everything that God was doing, especially at the time. And I can admit, sometimes I was uncomfortable, and it was challenging, and I stumbled. And there were many of times I assumed what he meant when he gave me a word, and I assumed this is what it was going to look like, this is what it was going to feel like, this was the journey I was going to have to go through. Like, the funniest time ever is God said, pray more. And I thought, for 30 days, you want me to intercede? That's a lot. Like, to intercede takes a lot out of you. But I assumed those things, and it wasn't that at all, right? But during this process, I made mistakes. I made errors, but I've grown. And every single day of 2023, and even up into this month, every single day, I stop and I reflect on what God is teaching me every single day, faithfully, like clockwork. After I get off work, I don't talk to anybody. I do my own little thing. I go and I talk to God, and I seek him, and I try to find out what I'm learning and what he's teaching me. Every single day, I've made a commitment. In January 2023, the word that God gave me for 30 days a year was being intentional. He started me off with fasting and praying, and he had me pray over my words to align with his will and my thoughts, to think before I speak and no longer allow my thoughts to be greater than his. I struggled for a while to get it right until one day I was reading the Daily Bread. And God highlighted a word. It's called asswage, A-S-S-W-A-G-E, just in case I said it wrong. Anyway, the definition is, it means to settle down, subside, hold back. And when I was studying the word, God said, from your emotions, from your thoughts, and be less intense and hold back from reacting to things. God said, simply pray. That's what he said. And I used that as my foundation for all of 2023. I used that word from the daily reading every single day to grow and develop in what God wanted me to grow and develop in. So for the sake of time on this 3,000-word lesson, I'm going to go ahead and get into it. So February, I focused on reaction. In March, it was procrastination. In April, it was knowing my worth. In May, it was my flesh versus my spirit. And in June and July, it was acknowledging my calling and walking in it. But in June, God speaks revival. He uses Brother Murray to come into this room with me, Josiah, JZL, and Jair. And he says, I hope you're excited and you're ready because you're going to have revival. Next thing God tells me to acknowledge my calling. He says, it won't just be standing in front of an audience. It is who you will be, not just what you will do. It kicked in, or at least I thought it did. Everything God was teaching me in my 30 days a year was shaping me into something more for him. And it wasn't by my ability or my strength or my might or my thinking why he was doing it. It was for his glory and his purpose, right? Amen. So it was out of my control what God started doing in me. And it was uncomfortable. And I felt like my mistakes in the 30 days a year were innumerable. But I knew truly in my heart that he was teaching me and he was building me for purpose because he had already spoke revival to me. He had already spoke that before Brother Murray ever said it. He had already spoke it. I just didn't know what he was talking about. In August came, Pastor preached on creating a space for the miraculous. So when Pastor Marquise preached that message, this really was my prayer that day. I simply spoke to God and I said, Lord, create a space to move. In August, miracles started happening for me. August, I went to visit Janice and Bree. At their house. A lot of different things took place. But on my way home, I woke up super early so I can start driving back home. And I'm sitting downstairs, and I think God said, like, without exaggeration, 20 times, I can and I will. And so I'm packing up my stuff and I'm trying to get insight and really seek out what God is telling me. But when I come upstairs, he said, don't leave before you pray for Bree and you give her the same word. I'm obedient. I pray over Bree. I give Bree the word. God said, I can and I will. So at this point, I'm really feeling like revival is real, but still kinda, because in my mind, for real, revival comes in waves. It comes like this, right? So it will come, and we're all excited, and we're revived in our hearts, and then it goes away a little bit. It trickles down for a season, and then it comes back up. That's for real, because in my walk with God, that's what I've seen. So I thought that was revival, until God corrected me, and he said, that's not revival. Because revival is in your heart. Wow. Revival is in your heart. Okay? Okay. So then I'm coming home. I'm driving home, and I'm praying, and I'm worshiping all the way home. And then you guys remember the storm comes. And I simply pray, and I go, Lord, stop the storm. And as I'm driving, like maybe a minute later, God stops the storm. Like a whole storm. Like a whole storm, you stopped a whole storm because I asked you to stop a whole storm. And to me, that was remarkable. And I came in and I testified, but I don't think anybody really understood like I understood because I was in the moment and I was in that car. And I knew that God had stopped that storm. And it was so quickly that he did it, it deposited something in me that has never left. Because I believe in the impossible. So when I say I'm the witness because he's showing me miracles to show you it's not who you are. It's just your belief in what he can and will do, right? So he spoke the word, I can and I will, and wholeheartedly with everything in my body, I know that he can and he will. And I don't care of any other report other than he can, he will, and it's done. There is not a but. It's not a but.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
So I'm going somewhere with this, and I know it's a little lengthy, but I'm going to keep going. In August, September, November, God said, pray more. This is when I had a whole cry fest, like a whole 30 days of interceding. Like, that's a bit much. I'm going to do it, but who wants to do that, right? But nonetheless, that's not what it was, right? And then, oh, that was August, September, November, God said, pray more. In December, this is when I'm at the post office, God said, focus on Thanksgiving and being aware. So when I'm at the post office, I'm with Pastor Marquise, right? And I'm like really aware. And Marquise will work you if you work for him. He be working you. But he didn't do me like that because God had a mission, right? And when God has a mission and God has a plan, God will fulfill his plan however he sees fit. Now, I'm not saying I didn't work hard and he had favoritism or anything, but I am saying there were a lot of times that Marquise would go to lunch so you can pray or do this so you can be filled up, so you can be aware. And I was fulfilling what God told me to do for those 30 days. But one day I was talking to this man named Ishmael, and Ishmael is Muslim. And him and I were just talking about the goodness of God. And he said, for a long time, I would not wake up and connect to God. But when I started waking up before daybreak, my life has never been the same. My life has never been the same. He said, everything, every need has been taken care of for him. Everything has been met. And he never has to worry about anything. And while he was speaking to me, God spoke to me and he said, this is why I'm teaching you to pray more, so you stay connected to me at all times. Thank you. Now, truth be told, oh, and now January this month, God is working on reaffirming. And truth be told, when he said reaffirm, I was all over the place. I didn't even know what that meant, and I didn't know what you want me to do because I don't even know what the word reaffirm really, really, really means. So I had to do this research and call Sister Day for some knowledge so I could figure it out. Nonetheless, I've been reaffirming everything God has spoke over this church. And I've been reaffirming everything God said I would be. So that's why I didn't come up here today and say, you know, I really hate speaking in front of people because I don't really care about speaking in front of people anymore. Amen. Because it's for the glory of God.
Amen. Amen.
And truth be told, I know that we are all facing challenges as we go through the 30 days a year. And these challenges may take you to a place where you choose not to try, or you doubt, or you fear, or you give up. But we're invited by God to live by Jesus' example, by persevering, by helping one another, by trying hard. We can all be chosen. Just like Adam and Moses, Abraham and Moses, they simply followed God. They didn't trust everything he said as soon as he said it, but they went through the process that God took them through, and they became great men of God. But it was a step-by-step process. If you're reading your daily bread, you know what I'm talking about. They were not just willing. Moses was like, no, don't pick me. Pick Jay. That's what I said. When God said, no, you'll do it, I said, pick Jay. She liked talk. She liked people. She liked standing in front of people. She liked that. I don't. Right? But nonetheless, that's how Moses was. I'm not good at this. So pick somebody else. And God even was like, here, let me get Aaron to help you. Because you're going to mess up my plan. That's the truth. That's what really happened. So although they were great men, they stumbled a little bit. But they did everything that God called them to do. Because they were chosen to do the things of God. God had a plan, and they followed it. Being chosen is an invitation to participate. To be chosen, a person must accept their call. They have to be grateful for it, and they have to move forward in serving God. It's a sacrifice of your wills, your will, your thoughts, your belief. It's a rejection of what you were shaped and molded by. It's a mindset of whatever you say, Lord, I will do. It's a trust that it is his plan, and I will follow his plan no matter what. However, being called is not enough to be saved or a saint and receive your crown. There's work. There's work and there's action that you have to take to be chosen. We must respond to the call knowing that the call is to do or learn what we need for our greater good to align with this plan. Some of us keep saying, I don't know my call. I don't know my calling. So I'm going to clarify because I'm really into simplifying, right? Everything God tells you to do or deposits in you, that's your call. That's your call. There's no exception. Every time you hear a word preached and God is penetrating your heart, that's your call. That's what you need to be focused on. That's what you need to learn. That's what you need to do. And it doesn't matter how you feel or what you think or if you're equipped or not equipped, because he's equipped. And last time I checked, honest to God, everybody in this room has the Holy Ghost for the most part. So what we're doing is we're kind of selling God short. We're selling him short because we have fear. But he has no fear. We're saying he's not enough and he can't do something because we don't know something. And last time I checked, God didn't care if we knew or not. He would use whoever is willing to be used. And that's the truth. You're called to... So we must respond to the call, knowing that the call... Okay, your call is to do anything that God tells you to do. But positive action is required. You have to, as God is calling you to do something, or he's laying on your heart, or he's teaching you something, you have to have a positive reaction or you're not going to do it. You're going to have a response to God telling you to do something. It cannot be, God told me to teach, but I'm going to teach 2 years from now. It can no longer be that, because we're in revival and we don't have that kind of time. Okay, so a calling or a call is simply an offer to step into a new life, given relationship with God, as well as God's work of transformation in your life. It's a new beginning from where you've been, and it can be scary. It really can be scary, right? But it's worth it. But it's work. Pastor Marquise just recently taught about work, And while we were on that Zoom call, because we were at home when he taught that message, God said, we just need to get to work. And then people got off the Zoom call and they go, I don't know what to do. So I'm going to clarify, right? Because I'm really into clarifying, and I'm really into making things really, really simple. If you don't know what to do, seek until you find the answer. You petition God, because it's his will. It's his will for us to be ready. It's his will for us to be in revival. It's his will for you to walk in every call that he has called you to do. That's his will. That's his desire. So I have to believe that somewhere we're not seeking. When God selects someone to represent him and therefore to receive this type of blessing, he gives them different opportunities in life. Choices that other people may not get, or maybe they even pass them by. These opportunities automatically become tests. Will we trust God's word and wisdom, or will we do what's right in our own eyes? Will we plan out our steps, or will we follow God's steps? God gives us choices to decide. Chosen is to be selected or marked by favor or special privilege, but there are a chosen few. Why? Everyone called will be asked, but few will be chosen. A few will sincerely accept his invitation. God gives us a free choice to do free will and live our lives however we desire. The gift of freedom is the greatest gift that God can give. God wants us to choose because we love him and we want to obey him to make our decisions within his overall blueprint of his will. The elect are chosen people called to declare the goodness and mercy of God. Those are the people that say, yes, Lord, yes, to your spirit and your will. I said, yes, Lord, yes. Y'all know the song. But for real. For real, I did think that was like my funniest part of this lesson. But nonetheless, I do want you guys to do me a favor, right? And this is for real, for real. I want everybody to close their eyes, right? Because I really want you to hear the words that I'm about to speak. But I don't want you to just hear the words that I'm speaking. I want you to hearken. I want you to allow God to deposit it in your heart, in your spirit, in your soul, okay? Because what God's trying to do sounds something like this when you receive it. All the days of my life, I am your elect, whom Jesus is well pleased with. Lord, you created me for your greatness. I am significant, and I will not be moved by any situation, circumstance, doubt, or fear. Every one of my steps are ordered by you, and I will walk accordingly. I will fulfill my purpose to evangelize the multitudes, to reaffirm your word of truth. I will be bold in your presence, for your presence is always with me. Greater are you that is in me than he that is in this world. And I am blessed with every spiritual blessing because my anointing goes before me daily. You have chosen me before the foundations of the world, and you have predestined my greatness. Continue to prosper me in all things, that I will be your good and faithful servant all the days of my life. Please never let your mercy abandon me. I am blessed and highly favored in all that you will for my life. I will obtain it. In my weakness, I am strong and courageous. My crown awaits the day I see you, and I will awaken your likeness. In Jesus' name. So I really believe this, and I'm really trying to teach so you guys really receive what I'm saying. If you say God's truth enough, you believe it. For real, if you keep saying God's truth enough, you believe it. Like, it settles in your heart. Like, I for real believe that I'm a witness of God, and it's not anything I did. It's what he chose for me to do, and I'm just following his lead. But when you get to that point, when you for real believe the word of God, right? And it's for real in your heart. No one can conquer or change your position in him. No one. No, I don't care what it said. So I'm going to add to the story when I was at the other church, because I'm talking to the people and I'm like, I'm in revival. I sit down and one of the ladies come up and she's talking and she goes, because nobody's in revival. And I said, nice and quiet. I mean, and she didn't say it just like that right behind it. She was talking about other things, but she said that, and I took note to it. But this is what I'm saying with this part. When you know what God said, can't nobody say nothing different, right? And I'm not critiquing her, because she doesn't know what God told me, and she doesn't have to believe it. I have to believe it. I have to walk in it. I know what God said, and I know where I'm at from where I was, and I know that I'm in revival because I have a place in my heart that is renewed in him. I am revived because he said so. So recently, God is putting in my cup an overflow of his love. And even in my doubt that I'm not enough, he comes along the side of me and he keeps reassuring me that he is enough. And when I feel weak and I can't accomplish his will, he connects to me and he goes, connect with me. I'll show you how. When I question the thorns in my side, he comes back and he says, I'll keep you as humble as you fast. He's requesting 30 days a year to be intentional in serving him, to give our very best, and for that, my cup runneth over again and again. Not in perfection, in sincerity.
That's right.
Sincerity is eagerness to do what is right with transparent motives. It means pure, without mixture, like pure apostolic work is.
Right.
I write this lesson from my heart, but truly is for the heart of pure apostolic works. Pastor said it's a privilege to have a revelation of who God is. But Brooke came back and spoke and said, blessings is to kneel to bless God. We go before him and he goes before us. So when we say that we are blessed, we must know in our hearts that no matter the situation, he has already gone before us.
Amen.
We hear all these things, but we aren't accepting the invitation to live by it. Truly, he's gone before us time and time again, and he has shared his blueprint. He has shared his plan. In our daily reading for 2023, at the end of the year, God started really, really highlighting stuff. I mean, it was so powerful, and I knew that it was God, but I'll be reading the word, and God will highlight the word prayer, or he will highlight from the daily reading command. pray, seek. These words given in this hour, and it's all work. All of those words are work. I've read the gospel many times, but this time I felt like it was warnings to prepare us for what is to come, or me, right? It's an urgent feeling in my soul, and the preaching isn't just nice words anymore. It's hitting the depths of my soul. It's lingering with me. This year, he's telling me to re-listen to the preaching, because every preaching, every teaching, he is having a conversation with us. Not with me, with us. He's having a conversation, but we're not listening to the conversation. Have you guys ever talked to somebody and you had to keep repeating what you were saying over and over and over and over and over again, and you feel some kind of way like, I know I said that like 5 times now. Like, I even switched it up and changed my verbiage so you can really understand where I'm coming from. But you're still repeating the same thing because it's not really penetrating the heart, or it's not being received as God is saying it. So I encourage everybody to go back and for real listen to the preaching. I don't care if you were sitting in the room. Go back and listen to the preaching, because God is having conversations, and you'll miss those conversations because you received some of it for that moment, but he's really talking to you. He's really trying to have a conversation. We can't live for today, and we know tomorrow isn't promised. God's confirming his word repeatedly in hopes that it will penetrate our heart and it will cause revival individually and then as a whole, that we will accept his invitation. He has said in every service, preaching, testimony, the word revival in one way or another. He's given us visions of doors opening and bringing the lost into our fold. He's preparing a way to prepare a way. He's opening doors and removing distractions. He's opening a door to draw us close, closer than we've ever been. He's teaching love and who we are in him. He's aligning our households, our children. He's pouring out his spirit. He's fighting battles that we haven't been able to overcome for years. Right. He's given words to pray for our families and our friends, and he's collecting the body and bringing us together. He's doing a new thing. Amen. Why? Amen. Why? Why is he doing this? He's building a consortium. The seed's already been planted. The harvest is already coming. But will you be ready? I'm going to be ready. Because he has given us an invitation, and it's critical to accept the invite. We had time to get ready. We had a dress rehearsal years ago, but now we just must be ready. So the kind of faith we need right now is right now faith.
That's right, that's
so
right.
We can't say what we're not adequate in doing. We have to know that he's adequate in doing it, and we're just serving the purpose, and we're doing the will of our Father because he said to do it. It's not by our ability. It's not by our might. It's really by our spirit. So you have to learn to connect in the spirit. This is not as hard as we're making it. We're making it hard. Because in your flesh, you have feelings. And in your feelings, you're scared. You're doubtful. You don't know how to get through. But when you're in the spirit, remember when you used to do that? Over here is the flesh. Over here is the spirit. I remember. But for real, when you're in the spirit, it's a different kind of power. When you're in the flesh is when you start saying what you can't do. But when you're in the spirit, you know exactly what you can do because you know who is with you.
Right.
Pastor said, stop sitting on your skills and talents that could change your entire life. Get to work. That's what God said using Pastor. Get to work. So I'm not talking about get to work next month. I'm not, right? God's not talking about get to work next month. God's talking about get to work now, right? Get to work now, because he has a blueprint. He has a plan. He's trying to get us to use us to fulfill the plan. The reference of scripture that I use is the story of the wedding. He sent servants to get the people, but they chose to go out and make money and do them. One didn't want to put on the proper attire, and he wasn't even invited. He did all of this, and they still didn't accept the invite. Some of us are struggling with words given, and we really can't fully receive it. The reason why is because you haven't got a revelation of who you are and whose you are. You hear, but you don't receive. You have everything you need. You forgot that he told us that. He can and he will. Your playback is your experience, not what he is saying. God said revival was here over and over again. And the reason why it's still being preached as it's coming is because you haven't accepted the invite. The invitation is still sitting on your table, and you haven't decided to attend. Another reason why is because you haven't decided how to be selfless. You are still living for you, thinking it out, figuring it out, and you haven't realized that it's never been about you. It's about him, and it's about the people. It's about the kingdom. Revival is not about me. It's about being sincerely willing. It's about him and his glory. It's about miracles, signs, and wonders. It's about loss, the loss being found. It's selfless. It has nothing to do with your thinking or how much you know or how long you've been in church. It's not about that. It's about the connection that you have with God and the willingness to do what he prompts you to do when he prompts you to do it. You have a calling, and many are called and have a calling. But the work, it's a lot. It's a lot of trust. And you don't want the work. You are waiting for a title or a step-by-step playbook. But this is a faith walk, and it's unseen. So you must do it. You're not going to see it to believe it. We have been chosen as a part of the few, but we must accept the invitation. The parable in Matthew, or should I say my remix, because you know I always give you a remix. Here you go. So we all understand the illustration. Some of us have an invitation, and we're sitting at home thinking if we'll ever attend. And then there are guests that arrive, and they're seated at Pure Apostolic Works. But when the word is delivered, God invites the guests to take their places. But to the shock of all of us, they offer excuses and they head for the door. One says, I'm not qualified. The second blurts out, I'm too tired. The third says, I want to live my life. Another says, I got bills on my desk waiting at home that I got to get paid. So I got to get to work. And one even says, I can't believe that's for me. And they all leave the same way they came, never accepting the true invitation that God has extended to us. In conclusion, God did and does the calling through his servants. He's using people to get what he's trying to do out. He's using us. When you teach, he's using you. When you're preaching, he's using you. When you do Sunday school, he's using you. If you're doing the youth group, he's trying to use you, right? He's trying, but we're not accepting his invites. We keep thinking maybe it's for somebody else. It's not. It's for us. It's for every one of us. It's for us. The fact that all are invited and not chosen means that God put the responsibility on the people to make the choice. The invitation is there, and it's up to us, the people, to accept and show up. This shows the coexistence of God's sovereignty and human choice. And I'm not elevating myself, but people seem to mention me a whole bunch about being the light and the light that they see in me. I'm going to make it very clear, the light that you see in me is him. It's never, ever been me. The only thing different from me and you is I accept the invitation of revival, and I'm going to walk it out. I am who he says I am, and I believe every word for this body. I don't have any excuses, no more. They're all written. I am following the blueprint that he has destined for all of us, because I'm going to show you as a witness what God can do. He said that he can and he will, and I believe it. It's not by my ability or your ability. It's by your obedience. You're called and you're chosen. Accept the invitation.